make a move, adventure's calling. Forest fires, cougars mauling. Take a chance and roll the dice one day. If you're a DM, players find you. Millennials can join this quest too. Expedition, we're gonna find a way. The Grizzly Pace. The Grizzly Pace. The Grizzly Pace.
Okay, okay. We are here. We are here. We are, where are we? GaryCon.
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 Lake Geneva. Doing the thing.
What? It's 50. It's the 50th, yeah? Yeah. It's Gary's 50th. Not Gary's 50th. No, he's dead.
This is for the Dungeons and Dragons. You don't even play the game. So that's why you don't know about it. You don't even play the game.
No. Listen. May I call you by your real name? Nate. May I call you Nate?
That's not my full name. That's
all right.
That's what my friends call me.
Nathaniel P.
Gilbert
Gonzalez. Gilbreth.
Gilbert.
So, look. Oh, okay.
You can convince me of anything right
all,
now.
All right. All right. No. We need a little bit of context here. So,
okay, context.
So we are Nate and me and I'm me.
Yeah.
And you're you. we are here at GaryCon. It is 2024. It is possibly the yes, we did get the elf ears and we had. Anyway, that's a little callback. If you sit here long enough, you do see sexy elves. There's no question about it. If you sit long enough,
I haven't seen one the whole time I've been here.
You see a sexy.
I've seen elves. I don't know about the other.
No, well,
you're getting racy there, though.
Racy, well,
yeah, you're getting racy.
Look, the reason I'm doing this is this is a callback to the original Bandits Keep Drunk cast.
Yeah.
Bandits Peak. It was the Bandits Peak Drunk cast.
I was about to say that, you sounded more coherent on this one than the last one, and then you started going with the Bizzly. So now I'm not even sure.
But I feel like. Even though I may be sounding more drunk and probably more infantile than I did last time, I feel like I have matured in the last...
Another year older?
Another year older.
Yeah.
About 5 years... Look, 5 years older.
How so? What's changed for you?
There's a lot of grey going on. You know, thankfully, it's only up top. It's not down below.
Why is that thing for you? Who cares?
I care. When you're standing there looking at your slack paunch in the mirror, and if it was all grey down there...
You don't
there,
have to do that. No one's telling you have to do that.
But it
no
just,
one's making you do that. You made a choice to do that.
But it just happens. It just happens. And frankly, if your distended belly was hanging down over a big grey patch of foliage...
Okay.
You wouldn't feel
I'm
too good.
I'm following you so far.
you wouldn't feel too good, would you? You know what? I feel like we should talk about games. I feel like talking about your pubic hair going gray is not what our listeners want to hear about.
We weren't telling them about that. We were telling them that yours going gray.
All right. Are yours still like? Anyway, now I can speculate about the color of your pubic hair, but I won't do that because I want to talk about gaming.
Sure. Do you really? Do you really at this point? You're not convincing me. Convince me. Let's talk about games.
All right.
What you got going on?
So, we are here at GaryCon. What is it? 18? 24? I don't know. What is it?
How many times
is there a sign somewhere? No, because people may come in a bit late and they'll like skip past all the talk about pubic hair. And they want to get onto the good stuff.
You want to skip on to the in memoriams for this year?
So
skip from that to
oh,
past.
Oh, okay, come on,
wonderful
mate.
Segue.
Do you really have to bring it down? I mean, I know a lot of people died this year, but really, do we have to dwell on it?
Okay, don't dwell on it. What do you want to talk about? Let's spend some more time talking about which GaryCon this is, which number it is. I can go ask him at the desk. They'll tell us. I think it's actually right there.
It is.
It's on a poster right in front of us.
No, but that is definitely not That is an old poster, dude. Yeah, that is a Jolly Blackburn Knights of the Dinner Table poster, I believe.
It's very nice.
It is very nice. And that is GaryCon 11. Is that saying 11 or
I don't know.
Or 7-11?
2011.
I don't know. The poster is folded, so
we
cannot tell.
How long will that record? How long is that
going to
go for?
This...
Lin Lin gets recording anything.
What the fuck?
Oh, man.
So we lost about 5 minutes of stuff there. And I can tell you, you didn't miss anything.
Didn't miss a damn thing.
You didn't miss a damn thing. So let's get on to the gaming. Did we mention the sexy elves and the pubic hair? As long as you've got the sexy elves and the graying / ginger pubic hair story, I think we're good.
Okay.
I think we're good.
If we got that, I guess we're good.
We're good.
That's what's good for you today. All right.
So I have run a number of Call of Cthulhu scenarios so far. I've run... So for listeners... Let me give you the inside track for fans of Grizzly Pigs Radio. So if you are a fan of Island of Death, Isla de la Muerte, then there's a little secret. So every year at GaryCon, I run a variant session comprised of characters all related to one of the characters from the original playthrough of Isla de la Muerte. And in year one, which I guess was 3 years ago now, it was Trey Sizers. Oh, look.
Oh, my God. Are you John Oliver? I'm so excited to see you. I love your show.
This is just some rando. Like, I don't know. I have no idea who that was.
You did the theme person? I never put two and two together before. My God, this is amazing.
Look, John Oliver is—he's not a million miles away. Like, he's an English guy with a big nose, and he's probably Jewish. So yeah, like in a most sort of broadest sense, yeah, we could be seen
as what the fuck.
What the fuck?
It's exactly the same. Exactly.
Is that the same? I don't know. I mean, I can't hear it, frankly. I think he is a very funny guy, but I wouldn't want to look like him. So that's where I stand.
Must be rough there.
Thank you.
So Isla de la Muerte.
All right, let's get back to Isla de la Muerte.
Myrtles.
So year one. Year one here. So Nate here came up with a character that was...
No, I don't. I don't play in your games.
No, but your other character, TJ, came up with a character.
No.
But you play TJ, yeah? On the podcast.
No.
You don't?
No. That's a different canon. We're not doing that canon anymore.
Oh, we're not doing that anymore.
It breaks the whole illusion. You gotta keep.
Look, can you get this straight? So, TJ and Nate, what's going on there?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, you don't know who I'm talking about. Right. Well, a person called TJ, who has nothing to do with this guy sitting next to me, Nate.
Tell us this story.
So his character was a Texan oil billionaire, as I'm sure you know if you like the podcast. So year one, it was his crew. And then I thought, you know, because I wanted to run it with a bunch of characters who knew each other. Because here's the deal. Here's my thinking, right? Here's how the brain works. If I'd run it with the same group of characters, how would you get them together in a one-shot? Huh?
Yeah.
How'd you get them together in a one-shot?
Tell us how you did it.
No, I didn't.
Wonderful wizard.
I broke the model. So you can't have a Texas oil billionaire, a hippie living on a farm, a gangster on the run, who was the other character? I can't remember.
I'm lost track.
And an exploitation film producer. Nikki, your character came later.
Okay.
I mean, you were like an NPC who became a character.
How was that?
How is it to be an NPC who becomes a character?
It's life-changing, and then you get stuck in a movie and have to be rescued.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll get on to Nikki in a minute. She's standing there looking cool with her gin and tonic. So my thinking is, you can't like force a bunch of randos at a con game to come up with this connective tissue to tie together a bunch of completely random characters. So what I did was I was smart, right? I was smart. I took TJ's character.
That
and I
guy
said,
looked just like Cody Mata. Just saying, like, I look just like, it's not him, he's not here. I know he's not here. But I, like, he looked, it was like his
clone. But doesn't everyone?
No, like, just like him, like a doppelganger.
But there's a type, yeah?
No.
There's a type. I mean, there is a type.
There are types, there are all kinds of types.
No, but there's a Gary Conn type, right?
There's lots of Gary Conn types.
But anyway.
You're one of them.
I'm one of them. And you're another.
Am I?
Yeah.
Do I belong here? I don't even know.
Yeah,
even
so...
Let's talk about the Gary Cons. Can we please talk about the games?
All right. I know. I'm ready. So that was year one. Year two, who was year two? Shit. So my brain is not really functioning very well today. Year two was the exploitation film crew. So everyone was a member of the cast or crew making this cheap 1970s horror flick,
right?
With really low budget special effects, and you know, kind of semi porn kind of horror, you know, like the '70s was, and that was good too. Archie, Matthew Archie, he died after experiencing a sort of terminal event on the commode kind of situation. He died on the toilet,
and so that player couldn't be in the game anymore.
He had to leave early, so I had to give him a quick exit.
So you killed him?
I killed him on the toilet.
Why didn't you just kill his character?
Oh, I see. You're doing that whole character player thing. I get it. Yeah, because that's like a really original joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
like
you know, it puzzled you. I'm not having to shoot for the moon here.
Okay, so... So, year three, this year, hippies.
Yep.
Hippies, yeah?
Yep.
And Nate, you...
I was nice enough to come and make all the sound effects by getting under the table and banging. Ooh, making the ghost noises for you. I was glad I could help out. It's not something I would want to do again, because honestly, the thing that came across to me that I did not expect was just sort of the general funk.
Oh, yeah, but there's a lot of... Feet down there. That's the problem. There's a lot of
that one guy was playing a character named Feet, and he was probably the worst of all.
Yeah. TJ, I think his name was.
Yeah. And then what's next year for you?
Well, next year is going to be the gangsters.
The gangsters. Then I think you have to have the sidekicks. You have to have Miss Purchase, and you have to have Bonnie sidekick.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, frankly, it's that whole storyline, the gangster storyline, is just a ripoff of the Ray Winston movie, Sexy Beast, which if you haven't seen, I highly recommend.
No, I've seen it like 20 times. Wonderful.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So what you need, I was actually thinking about this whilst lying awake last night, worrying about all the games I need to run.
Right.
You know, and what you need is you need an NPC who is playing the Ben Kingsley character, because you need a conflict there right from the start. So, you know, Gal, whatever his name is. So, his name is Ray. So Ray and his wife are there in the villa, right?
Right.
And maybe two of the other characters are like some friends of theirs, like low-life hoodlum couple, also visiting. And then you need the sub-boss, the underboss. Like the, what do they call them? They're like the capo. Not the capo. What do they call them in the mafia? Not the big guy. The guy below the guy. Not literally underneath him. I mean...
Mink.
The mink.
They call him Mink.
The mink.
Mink is Eddie Dane's boy.
So he comes to the island to basically tell Ray that he's fucked up. That he is fucked up.
Right.
And he's got to get things right with the boss.
Right.
Yeah? there you got the conflict. Now, the question is, do you play that as an NPC or do you get one of the players to play that character?
I don't run Call of Cthulhu, so I don't know.
It's not about Call of Cthulhu. It's
it,
about
it is, though, it's not something that I, you know what I ran this weekend?
What did you run?
I ran Ambidithless role-playing game. I ran Ambidithless, we did a throne war. We do an Amethyst game. So you know what an Amethyst game is?
No.
You run Amber Throne War. Have you ever read the books Chronicles of Amber?
I have. They're terrible.
Okay. So then you understand. So
well, Nine Princesses in Amber.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, it's terrible. Yeah. But carry on.
So in that it's Amber, but you can't play you don't want to replay the books, so you do your own characters.
Okay.
So you do your own, you change out Oberon as something else, and you go down the line. Everyone makes their own characters. And then they've all battled it out for the throne, but it's not Amber because it's not the same people, so you call it an Amethyst game. That's an Amethyst game.
Oh, I see. You mean it's avoiding, you know, any litigation.
And the thing with Gary Con, most cons, everything starts at 8 in the morning. As soon as you can get it. I don't like running.
Good night, John Oliver.
Fans. Okay, come on, Daniel.
Yeah. All right.
You were the original drunk cast.
Uh-huh.
Come on. What's going on?
So here we are at Gary Con. I don't read Roman numerals. 17?
Is 18? It 17? Someone knows.
It's been a long time since we've come here to play these games together and enjoy each other's company here at Gary Con. And I've noticed that fewer of the elves.
No, but I did see one just literally walk past as we started recording. Yes. So, you know,
And was our earlier evaluation, you'll have to go back through the catalog for this, accurate?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
I think not.
All right, not connected. Okay, good. Yeah.
I think not, but, you know, I'm glad someone knows what Gary Con number this is.
Yeah.
Because I was struggling.
7.
17?
12. 15?
15.
It's, no, I don't remember.
Hold on.
It's new rules.
It's 2000, well, no, 16, I think. 2008, I believe.
XBI, right?
You're right. Yeah. 2008. So
it's very, and actually, this is a terrible year.
Oh, really?
Are we going to bring it downer? Because Jim Ward just died.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Terrible, terrible.
A lot of guys died.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's how Andy starts all his games.
That's how I end them.
All right.
That's how I end them.
A lot of guys died.
But, you know, one wonders if, with a slightly a healthier attitude to life, you know, and eating a bit more, you know, green leafy vegetables.
Right, like kale or something.
Yeah, we could keep it going a bit longer.
Yes.
I mean, isn't this a warning to us all? Eat more kale.
Right.
Eat more kale. You don't want to be old? Go out with a bang.
Maybe 60,
65.
Maybe
there you go.
71, go out with a bang. 70,
you cheer just one more. Well, one more. We'll keep going a little further. But yeah, all right. This is good. We're getting into this. We're playing the games. We're doing the thing. Are you noticing more children?
Oh, shit. This is stopped recording.
It did? No, you're going.
Keep going.
Have you noticed more children? And younger people?
Yeah. You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah, I think we're diversifying here a bit at Gary Con. Not we. I have nothing to do with it, but it's good.
You know, okay, so I'm now getting to the point where my daughter is properly into gaming. Properly, right? Henry, your daughter also properly into gaming. Yeah? No?
Seems so.
Oh, hold on. Did you say probably or proper?
Properly.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's going to be a gamer, right? No?
Unless something stops her, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. So, I never played D&D when I was 5. Fuck.
Didn't exist.
It didn't exist. That's true. It didn't exist. D&D was invented when I was 6. God, I'm old. Anyway, so today, your daughter and my daughter, we're getting kind of emotional now. Our daughters, our beautiful daughters, they were exposed to Dungeon Crawl Classics. I mean,
they experienced their first TPK.
Yeah. Well, it was a
Close. I mean, there's no. As it gets with 6-year-olds, let's be honest.
Yeah, but with a zero level funnel, what? Technically, there can't be a TPK because you just get four more.
Right. So all of the characters at the table.
All the original characters died. All the name characters.
And
yeah.
Credit to Haley for running that for a table full of 5 and 6-year-olds because that was quite impressive. She did it, and there wasn't a tear at the table. I was amazingly impressed. She really pulled it out there.
Because they came back from the dead riding unicorns?
No, they just got four new character sheets.
But they've been prepared for the loss. And they understood that it was a throwaway. And, like, particularly for Kanan, like, small losses tend to take on this huge significance.
Yes.
And so seeing her take a hit and take it in stride was really, I was proud. And it was cool to see that.
That was pretty awesome. Because last year, she was nervous just to roll the dice.
Yeah. Even to roll a d20 because she might roll badly. Wow. She knew there were stakes and she was afraid of it. And this time she rolled a bunch of attacks and her first one was a crit. That probably helped her overall disposition. Nice. She asked me what a nat 20 was. I don't know if you heard. She was like, "What is, people keep saying nat 20. What does that mean?" And so, of course, I had to explain. Okay, well, natural and modified 20 and the whole thing. And then immediately the next thing she does is roll a crit on her attack. And that set the tone for the session and carried her through all of her characters dying.
and that's amazing because so our daughters, Henry and my daughters, played their first ever game of Dungeon Crawl Classics, and they were being GM'd by Haley Skatch, lovely girl who we've done some streaming with, and she's like DCC royalty, I guess. She's a daughter of Jim Skatch, who's all part of the Goodman Games crew. And she and Haley started gaming at like 6 as well. So it's like she's passing the torch on. She's now running games for 6-year-olds. And it's kind of beautiful. It's almost a bit emotional, actually. I'm where's the eye drops? I need to get some tears going here. But, you know.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah? Do you like that?
I do. I like that.
You like
because,
that?
Because we got to keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, earlier today, I was listening to a podcast from almost 20 years ago. One of the very first...
podcast 20 years
ago. One of the very first gaming podcasts called Have Games Will Travel.
Oh.
By Paul Tevis, who is kind of... I don't know what he does now, but back then he was kind of a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't mean to assume that he's now not a big deal. But back then he was a big deal.
Well, not compared to you.
Yeah. Anyway, he had, and in this interview, he was interviewing, it was, I guess, 2006, this episode. He was interviewing Kenneth Haidt, who back then was already Kenneth Haidt. Back in 2006. That's impressive, isn't it?
That is pretty impressive.
Like to be Kenneth Haidt almost 20 years ago. Uh-huh. And to still be Kenneth Haidt.
Without any changes.
Without any changes.
Not a Ken or...
Yeah, Ken.
Kenny. I
would posit that I'm the only one that wasn't me 20 years ago.
All right. So, thank you, Nate. But what was... What did I call... So, Nikki, this is Nate.
Okay, hi, Nate.
Yeah. It's not worth getting into. It's not worth... No. So, and this is amazing because 2006, Kenneth Haidt was being interviewed by Paul Tevis and it was a 20-minute rant about how role-playing games... Excuse me. How role-playing games were dying.
Oh.
And back then, everyone thought that was it. It was done.
That was it. Nobody was going to play anymore.
Like 3.5 had bombed. Not bombed. 3.5 had kind of saturated the market. The D20, like the D20 revolution was crapped out.
Mm-hmm.
There was way too much product. It was all like all the like companies were going bust left, right and center. They were, Wizards were working on fucking D&D 4.
Oh, yes.
You know, and... 4th edition was about to come out, which was going to be an even worse disaster, as we all know. And everyone was thinking, that's it. It's all just video games now. No one's... you know, Magic the Gathering and video games and Pokemon, and no one's going to be... And here we are, almost 20 years on, and we're probably about to go into the same fucked situation where no one wants to play video games, role-play games anymore. But
you would think that, but then here comes a personal invitation from Luke Gygax.
Okay, we need to open this live. All right, can we open this live?
This is a personal invitation from the desk of Luke Gygax.
Okay, here we go. I'm excited. Right.
I'm opening this.
Did you get this like in
this
the post?
This is like a manila envelope.
Did you get this in the
what
post?
What do you call this? All right, I'm opening it up. Oh, there are multiple pieces of document in here.
Yeah, I can't see anything handwritten though. I'm a bit worried.
Collector's edition campaign mega invention honoring my father Gygax.
Oh
look. Oh, receive $100 in free products.
Oh,
when
hundreds.
You back the special.
Hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds. Oh, is
plural
that
hundreds.
This is hundreds of dollars if you back this.
If you pay hundreds of dollars.
Now, I'm going to explain what the QR code looks like so people can do it. So imagine a square. Okay. Oh, there's more.
There's more. Can we see? Can you read it out?
All right, a personal invitation from the desk of Luke Gygax. A historic, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and a chance to receive hundreds in incredible free product.
Oh, boy, don't read all of this. There's a lot of shit here. All
right, so
investigators need to know some of this.
So
it's a handout.
This is a handout. May the gods watch over you on your journey, and please buy my products.
So you just need to back him.
Yeah.
For between $50 and $80.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm making that up, but that's typically a Kickstarter kind of price point. Between $50 and $80, and you will get hundreds of dollars of goods that you would never have bought.
That's correct.
Like, probably. You would never have actually bought them, but you'll get them.
But they have this
for
value.
For $50 to $80.
Yes. Well, and you'll get this adventure thing, I guess.
Yeah, you'll get some crappy adventure. No, sorry. No, look, we shouldn't. Look, we're at Gary Gordon. We shouldn't diss Luke. Luke, shit. We're going to get thrown out of here. Sure. I have not. Look, Luke's a cool guy, and I'm nothing against him. But I must say, I don't know if he's a good designer or not. I would imagine he's probably middling.
Mm-hmm. Are you
going to
put this in the public?
Well, I'm actually not sure.
I mean, honestly, does anyone here think that game design ability is genetic?
No.
Well,
Nate, come here. You said yes. Nate?
I was just being contrary.
Oh, you're being contrary.
No. Well, cultural heritage is a thing. A person who has been steeped in a particular practice since birth might be good at it.
Right, but how many children of like great actors are great actors? How many?
I think we'd have to discount the ones who are children of extremely famous and successful actors and look at the ones who are like merely great and unknown. That's because being the child of successful actors is like psychic poison.
Okay.
Like being
you're
a rich
related
kid.
To a Coppola. You can change your name to anything.
What about Drew Barrymore?
Okay.
The exception that proves.
All right. She's a great actress. Yeah. Yeah. She's good.
She was really good in E.T.
Yeah, she was.
Good. Which, and by the way, had a D&D reference.
I know. Of course, they start playing D&D.
Yeah.
I mean, and here we come full circle.
That's right.
D&D. Maybe on the way out, because frankly, this whole bullshit,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to get into that, but this whole bullshit is certainly damaging the gamers' perception of it. May be damaging the kind of mass public's perception of D&D, but it's damaging our perception,
right?
Because
us standing here in this hallway,
yeah. Well, like the people that kind of carry the torch, let's say,
the torchbearers,
because when all the kind of
Hype
fans go away to the next hype.
Mm-hmm.
Who's left?
Luke Gygax.
Luke Gygax.
So support his Kickstarter.
All of us and our kids. And that's the thing. Maybe it's dead. But what that means is that making money off of it is dead. Doesn't mean people aren't going to play. We're going to keep playing no matter what bullshit they sell, no matter what bullshit they fail to sell, and it doesn't matter. And Kanan and Amelia will also keep doing the same thing. Maybe they'll play D&D. Maybe they'll make up their own bullshit. Maybe they'll play Zero Rules. Well, we just make it up as we go along, like I did when I was in fifth grade. And, you know, who cares if people are making an industry about it? That's not what I value about it.
Let me give you a counterpoint, because I agree with that. But here's the counterpoint. The only role-playing game that has ever had any cultural significance at all is D&D in the general culture. And so that means it's important for that to still be like healthy and creative and thrive, even if we don't ever play it again.
You're taking a limited view of cultural significance. It's the only one that was ever mentioned on a Netflix show. But that's was important. It the only one that ever influenced a person? Was it only one that influenced anyone standing here? Is it like, no, there's thousands of people. Look at all people here, every single person here. If you walked up to them and said, okay, you can never play D&D again, they'd be like, almost all, they'd be like, oh, well, I have six other options. And so, yeah, it's the one that is the label. It's the well-known one, but its importance is not that great.
And it depends on your definition of role-playing game. Sexy Nurse has come and gone over the years.
You can always play Maid or Fatal.
Some things are timeless. And
you know, we started me and Nate half an hour ago talking about elves.
Dwarves.
And dwarves. And now we're getting onto some real shit here, you know, because you know, like... although I really don't play D&D anymore, it's still really important to me. Like in the past, the present, the future of it is important to me because yeah, maybe we're all going to play other games and be influenced by other games, and maybe the creators are going to be influenced by other games. But this was the kind of beginning, regardless of whether it was or wasn't, because we all know there are many other beginnings, but this was kind of the beginning. And it's not like a brand, it's not a game, it's a fucking medium, it's an art form, and this was the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. So somehow it's gotta stay, I think, otherwise everything fragments.
And it will, and Hasbro doesn't own that. And they can fuck it up as much as they want. They can do as the worst job. They could make fourth edition again. We've already seen this. And what'll happen? People will steal their IP and go play by themselves with their own shit. And they won't buy the stuff. And then eventually the market will turn around and realize, oh, they're not buying our stuff anymore. Well, let's change it up. And maybe they'll sell stuff again. And the cycle will continue, but like...
Or more likely, they'll sell it off in a fire sale to some other publisher who will then revive it, which is probably the best thing. Because frankly, what Hasbro are doing now is not great. Like...
The G.I. Joe role-playing game?
Huh?
Like the G.I. Joe role-playing
game? G.I. Joe, I don't know. Is there one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Transformers.
No, I don't mean that. I mean their sort of business strategy their stated business strategy is that we are not monetizing D&D enough. All they want to do is make more money out of it. And okay, yeah, fine, they're a business. They don't care. They fired all the writers, all the designers. They're all gone. Like, guys,
you know who's designing good stuff now? Luke Gygax.
No, but they got rid of them. And in the same breath, Chris Cox says we have, like, 50 years of IP that AI can just reformat for you.
Do you think you got made fun of a lot in school?
Who?
Chris Cox.
Chris Cox.
Also, you know who says shit like that? People have never had to reformat something using AI tools. Because, like, yeah, it's a little faster, but it's still painstaking, annoying, and error-prone. And, like, at best, a 50% increase on human effort. So, like, yeah, it's an efficient tool, but it's not going to, like... make it so you could take your catalog of 50 years of shit, wave a magic wand, and suddenly you've got viable product that you can sell.
No, but all you need to
still
do is...
is going to need work.
But all you need is an editor to clean it up. You don't need a writer anymore.
All you need is an editor to clean up your already written IP, because it's already written by a creative human. And the AI might make that editor a little more efficient, but it's not going to replace them.
Wouldn't you claim that's what second edition is?
Just an editor rewriting first edition. Oh boy, we're getting into. Okay, Nate, what are you doing?
Homer Simpson's just going back into the.
I'm riling up the second edition people.
Worst for me, I only play games that have been run to the ground by giant corporations, so I'm good.
You're good.
Yes.
You're like, I welcome our robot overlords. Yes. That's your whole shtick.
We should all just be in Japan. Call of Cthulhu is the number one role playing game, so we'll just pivot to Cthulhu.
We'll just learn Japanese.
It's just like that.
We'll just move to Japan.
We'll just move to Japan. Yes.
Yes. There you go. You can be big in Japan.
Yeah. Or turning Japanese is the other.
I actually think DCC could make a comeback if D&D goes away. DCC might, DCC has the best magic system, by the way.
I mean, yeah, it's a fantastic game.
Nobody uses it because they all run funnels.
Yeah, because it's too complicated to learn the rules.
It's because you all play at cons. I mean, at least the Mutant Crawl Classics game we played, we used the hell out of the magic system.
Yeah, we did.
Which is great.
And that was good.
That's right, my feet went backwards.
Yep.
It's good.
Yeah. Andy, do your voice. Do the voice of the little guy in the drawer. Do it on your drone cast.
Advog is angry!
And post.
It's a game where role-playing, I'm a stranger and you're making mistake after mistake. No one can hear your pleading, the wind drowns out your screaming, they'll never smell your body.